I'd like to speak to you this evening from two verses that I think are familiar to most of us, from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. For our Lord says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But narrow is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Jesus is coming towards the end of that marvellous sermon which we call the Sermon on the Mount. What a wonderful piece of teaching it is. It is full of profound doctrine. And yet it isn't in the least stodgy or heavy, because it is also full of vivid, memorable illustrations. And now as he comes towards the end, he's focusing on this question: what are the people going to do with the message which they have just heard? This is the application. In all biblical preaching, there has to be both exposition and application. A sermon is incomplete if it only has one of these. In exposition, we say, "Here is what God says." And in application, "Here is what we are meant to do about it." And that's really what he's saying to us this evening as hearers of his word. Whether you've heard a lot of God's word or whether you've heard comparatively little, what are you doing with it? Or more importantly, what are you doing with Christ? Where is Christ in your life? And this superb communicator here gives us another illustration, a very simple one. The picture of two roads. And Jesus is saying that there are only two roads, ultimately, along which a human life can travel. And everyone in the world is on one road or the other road. Everyone here this evening, you're on one road or the other road. He wants you to be walking on one road, but not the other one. And I too would like this evening to urge you and to persuade you to enter this road, if you're not walking on it already, to become a Christian. Now, our Lord is unique, and he's got a very, very strange way of persuading people to walk on the right road. You see, he doesn't in any way deny the attractions of the wrong road. In fact, he draws attention to them. In many ways, the wrong road is inviting and pleasant and attractive. Our Lord underlines that. He says it is an attractive road, seems to be. And he doesn't minimize the difficulties of the right road. He emphasizes them. And why would he do that? Well, the answer is simple. Jesus Christ doesn't want people to follow him for the wrong reasons. Many people do that. And all who follow him for the wrong reasons, sooner or later, give up. They abandon the Christian faith. They turn their back on Christ. And it's harmful. They themselves are hardened against the gospel. They say, I tried Christianity and it didn't work. The church is discouraged. Here were these people who seemed to be Christians and then they fall away. That's disheartening. And the cause of Christ is brought into disrepute. So many people professing to be followers of Jesus, but they aren't really. And he doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want anyone here to make a commitment that you don't really mean. He doesn't want you to believe in a Savior that you don't really know. He doesn't want you to start out on a way of life that you don't really understand. Our Lord is blazingly, intensely honest with us. And he wants you to be honest with him. There's nothing of the hard sell, the door-to-door salesman, about Jesus Christ. Instead, openly and honestly, he sets the choice before us. He stresses the difficulties in becoming a Christian, the problems and the hindrances. But then at the end, he gives the great, overwhelming, conclusive reason why you should. Why you should enter through the narrow gate and walk on the narrow road. And I do pray, and did pray today, that if any of you here this evening aren't on that narrow road, that tonight God will lead you to decide to enter. But let's come back to our Lord's illustration, the two roads. What can we learn about these two different roads? How are they different? Let's look at some ways which he mentions. In the first place, there's a road of drift and a road of decision. A road of drift and a road of decision. Human beings like change. We like new things. But I think our liking for change is on the surface. I think that underneath in all of us, there's a basic layer of conservatism with a small c. Perhaps a better name for it would be laziness. I think in many ways, we don't like changing. We don't like changing our habits. Or changing our patterns of thinking, or our patterns of living. People talk about being in a rut. Most of us actually like ruts. We feel secure and comfortable in them, doing the same things in the same ways as we have always done. I read in the economic pages of the newspaper the other day, the amazement of some of the economic experts at how people keep their accounts in banks and building societies which are paying wretchedly inadequate interest. They could get higher interest by changing, by transferring their account to a different company. But the banks and the building societies know perfectly well that once people start doing business with them, the vast majority of people won't change. They can't be bothered to change. They get into the rut. They stay in the rut. That's the whole principle about inertia selling. You know what inertia selling is. A book club offers you £100 of books for £5. All you have to do is to decide whether or not to take a book a month for the next 3 years. Now, what they're counting on is that most people won't be bothered posting the books back to them. But the books will come in the post and it'll be easier to pay for them than to wrap them and go down to the post office and post them back. It's based on the inertia. For many human beings, if the alternatives are changing and staying as we are, most of us will choose to stay as we are. This is the first great obstacle to entering the kingdom of God. We would rather drift than make a decision. And that mentality will lead in only one direction, away from Christ. It's interesting that he says here, he doesn't need to say, do not enter the broad road. He doesn't need to warn us against entering the broad road. He doesn't need to say, stay away from it. Why? Because we're on the broad road already. We enter the broad road when we're born. That is where we are found. That is where we are naturally. So to be in the broad road doesn't need a decision. It doesn't need a choice. It doesn't need any initiative. We just need to do nothing. We just need to stay as we are. To procrastinate. To drift on. There is no radical change needed. The other way, however, Jesus says, has to be found. You have to look for it. You have to search it. There aren't many, he says, who find it. And it has to be entered. In other words, it demands conscious action to be a Christian. It demands a decision. We need to think about it. We need to resolve. We need to change. And we are reluctant to change. Perhaps you're like that this evening. It's far easier, we think, just to drift on as we are. And that is what many people are doing. It is the path of least resistance. You come to church and you hear the gospel and you hear about becoming a Christian and you think to yourself, well, yes, it might be nice, but think of all the changes that would have to take place in my life. And you shrug your shoulders, can't be bothered, and stay as I am. The road of drift, the road of decision. Secondly, there's the road of self-indulgence and the road of self-denial. The road of self-indulgence and the road of self-denial. Wide is the gate to the broad road, Jesus says. Wide is the gate. You can bring a lot of baggage with you. You can travel on that road with a lot of luggage. Whatever you like. There's no limit on the baggage you can take. There are no restrictions within reason. On the broad road, you can believe whatever you like. You can behave however you like. That makes it very popular. Our age worships the principle of self-gratification. As the song says, doing what comes naturally. Doing your own thing. And that's the motto of this road. Do as you please. Go as you please. Suit yourself. Self rules. It's a tremendous, potent appeal. Broad is the gate. On the other hand, however, for the other road, we're told that narrow is the gate. Jesus doesn't mean by that this road is only for the elite, for a select group of humanity, for the nice and the respectable, and not others. But he is saying that to become a Christian, you can't bring your sins with you. You can't hold on to them. You can't keep carrying them. You can't live for your own rights and demand your own rights all the time if you're a Christian. You can't even put yourself first on this road. Unless a man denies himself, he cannot be my disciple. God's word imposes limits and norms on what we can believe on this road. There's truth and there's falsehood. We can't believe falsehood. God's word imposes limits on our behavior. There is good and there is evil. You can't be a Christian and not be different. It's a narrow gate. It's a turnstile. To get onto the narrow road, you have to enter one at a time. And you've got to lay aside all your sin and all your selfishness if you're to squeeze through this narrow gate. One is the road of self-indulgence. Do what you like, bring what you like. The other is the road of self-denial. Narrow is the gate. Thirdly, there's the road of ease and the road of exertion. The road of ease and the road of exertion. Jesus says that one road is broad. The Greek word means wide or flat or level. It's a very easy road at the beginning to travel on. There's plenty of room. There are no steep hills to climb. There are no rough surfaces that are going to bruise and cut your feet at first. On this road, there are no difficult choices to make. No costly sacrifices. Everything is pleasant and comfortable. You're following the dictates of nature. The way of sin is the way of the soft option. The way of cowardice. The way of moral flabbiness. The way of compromise. Going along with the stream. Swimming along with the current. It's a broad, comfortable, easy road. No trouble. Or in that phrase that everybody seems to be saying now about everything under the sun, no problem. The next time somebody says no problem to me, I'm going to scream. Whatever you say to somebody nowadays or ask them, no problem. Well, there's no problem on this road. The other road is narrow. The word means constrained, limited, restricted. It's a picture of a road between rock walls. The surface is rough. The hills are steep. The Christian life isn't easy. Jesus made that plain again and again. It's not an easy option. Paul said we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. We've got to fight against severe temptation. We're going to get a few knocks from the world. We're called to sacrifice ourselves in service to other people. All of this demands exertion and effort. The road of ease and the road of exertion. Which do you think is more popular? And then fourthly, there's the road of the majority and the road of the minority. Concerning one road, Jesus says, many, many enter through it. Concerning the other, only a few find it. On one road there's the many, on the other, only a few. The road of the majority and the road of the minority. There's something comfortable psychologically about being in a crowd. I've often thought it takes quite a bit of mental fortitude if you're driving into a car park, or let's say you're driving along a street and there are 30 cars parked on one side of the street with a few spaces, and there are absolutely no cars at all on the other side of the street. You need to be a strong-minded, self-confident individual to be the first to park your car on the other side of the street. You start thinking, well, perhaps you're not supposed to park there. You're not allowed to park there. You automatically find yourself going where everyone else is. And that's the difference between these two roads. One road is crowded. Thousands of people travelling along it. There's laughter. There's good company. And if ever you wonder if you're on the right road, you look around and say, look at all these people. They're on the road. Look at all the people who never go to church, who never read their Bibles. Look at all my friends, the people I know. None of them are Christians. They seem to be living good lives. They seem to be having a good time. There are many people on this road. Most people, it seems. Those who travel on the other road are few. They're isolated. They feel conspicuous. They look a bit odd. Christians stick out. And that's not easy. We hate to feel conspicuous and alone. And certainly more and more in the United Kingdom, in public opinion, Christians are an unpopular minority. So you see the honesty of our Lord. You see how he spells it out here. These two roads, he says. One road seems to have everything going for it. You don't need to make any decisions. You can indulge yourself. It's easy. There are lots of people traveling. The other road, you have to make a choice. You have to make a decision. And you've got to give up a lot of things. And in many respects, the road is hard. And there are not many people on it. Now, in view of all this, why should anyone choose the narrow road? And that brings us to the final difference. The road to hell and the road to heaven. The road to hell, the road to heaven. We've been talking this evening about roads, but we haven't yet asked the fundamental question, the great basic thing that you need to know about any road. What is it? Where's it going to? Where's it going to? That overshadows everything else. If you're in a strange part of the country and you want to get to some destination and you need to choose a road, you don't ask which road is the nicest tarmac at it, which road is the best street lighting, which road has pretty trees growing along it. No. You ask which road goes in the right direction. Which is the right road? Nothing else really matters. And if you're on the wrong road on your journey, if you're going the wrong way to the wrong place, it's not much comfort to say, well, it's a lovely road. Dual carriageway, newly surfaced, good street lighting, I like this road. But it's the wrong road. It's not much comfort to say, well, there are lots of cars on this road. Lots of people obviously travelling along this road. It's the wrong road. What should you do when you're on the wrong road? What do you do when you're on the wrong road? Well, if Lorna and I are driving and we think we're on the wrong road, we do have different philosophies. I have to say we have different philosophies about this. Lorna's approach would be, if we think we're on the wrong road, her approach would be either to look at the map or to stop and ask someone. My approach would be to drive a lot faster and start losing my temper. Now, which do you think is a more intelligent approach? I think a lot of men do that. Just put the boot down and somehow things will be all right. But they won't. If you're on the wrong road, going more quickly is going to make things worse instead of better. You've got to get off the wrong road and onto the right road. Isn't that common sense? And yet, my friends, that is the one question. The one question which most people on the broad road of life never ask. Where is this road going? Where is it leading me? Where will it end? That's the one thing you need to know. And yet that's the one thing they don't do and never ask. And never think about, and don't want to think about. Don't talk to me about where the road's going. I'm enjoying this road. It's easy, it's comfortable, there are lots of people on it. Don't bother me about where it's going. Without Christ, if you're not a Christian, where is your life going? Jesus makes it clear here. He says it leads to destruction. It leads to destruction, to the perishing of everything that is good, to the loss of love and beauty and truth and joy and peace and hope. It's taking you to judgment and it's taking you to hell. And those of you who this evening are still not Christians, you need to think about that. I mean, don't be illogical. Don't be foolish about this. Don't say, well, the road of my life is pleasant and well lit and I'm enjoying travelling along it and I've lots of companions. Where's it going? It's going to destruction. Without Christ, your life is going to destruction. Where's the narrow road going? The Lord Jesus says it leads to life. Real, everlasting, abundant life in all its fullness and joy. And if you're on the right road this evening, that's what you need to remember. It's the road that leads to life. Now you may be on a steep bit of the road at the moment. And the going's hard. And you're feeling tired and discouraged. And your feet are sore. But the thing to remember is you're on the road to life. That's where the road is taking you. To heaven. And to glory. People joke about the broad road. But in this simple picture, Jesus Christ is saying something tremendously profound about our human existence on earth. That we're going one way or the other way. And it is utterly, utterly foolish to be going on the wrong road in the wrong direction. Because it means you're a fool. It means you're the dupe of Satan. His design is to so deceive you that you keep on travelling happily along that road until it's too late. And you realise to your horror that it's the road to destruction. But it's not too late for you this evening. The road to life is still open. It's open before you tonight. The gate's open. Jesus says elsewhere, I am the gate. I am the door. When we come to Him in faith, when we ask Him to be our Savior, we enter that road that leads to life. And I pray that God will move you to leave the broad road, the road that leads to destruction, the road of self-indulgence and of sin and of popularity and of this world, to step onto that glorious road that leads to the life of heaven. I am the door. By me, if anyone enters in, he shall be saved. Enter in at the narrow gate.